everybody. This is Shin, and I'm just recording a very quick bumper introduction to our Vampire Mob interview. It was so much fun for us to do. I know that Joe, John, and Raimi enjoyed it too, so. And I'm really, really sorry that I had to cut the beginning, but because we only had a finite amount of time, it sadly meant that it had to go, and I feel really bad for that, but I really can't help it, and I'm really sorry. I hope you guys enjoy it, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye! We have looked, and we've found that probably the best introductory question was asked by Hot Shawnee Elsie, Tish, to everybody, which is, how did the idea of combining the mob and vampires come about?
I was, this is Joe, I was working as a private investigator for 11 and a half years until very recently, and I only investigated intellectual property, which means like things like trademarks and patents. So it wasn't like I was following people. I was essentially kind of like doing research online. And then I had separate lines in my house. I worked for a company, but I worked from home. And we had essentially fake companies and fake websites and fake email addresses and fake stories, so we could call either into a company or to an individual and get information that a lawyer wanted. So I spent, 11 and a half years lying to people all over the world on the telephone and getting information because they believed the story I told them. And I had to investigate something that had to do with the mob. It was a trademark. And the Johnny Depp movie was out at the time, and whoever I was talking to, I joked that, this vampire thing seems to be everywhere, doesn't seem to be going away, and looks like the mafia's back. Where's the vampire mob? And once I said that, then I was like, oh, I gotta see if that's registered. And looked at the .com, and it wasn't registered, and just started cooking it, and then it originally was going to be a short, and thanks, and then I just kept working on it. From it was like the end of July ish I guess last year, and I started cooking it as a short, and originally Don wasn't a hitman. He was just a mob guy that had kind of based on a mob guy I knew when I was a bartender. And so I wrote a play at the Ruskin Group Theater in Santa Monica, California, where they do a thing every month for the last 6 years called the Cafe Plays, where five writers meet at a cafe and they're given two headshots, and they have to... someone was whispering behind me. They have to write a play in 4 hours. So you meet at this cafe, and they throw 10 envelopes down, and you pick up two, pull them out. Those headshots are your cast, no resume, and you got 4 hours and a theme, and you write, like an 8-page play tops. I mean, you can go 10 if you want to play with fire. And then they start rehearsing it with a director and assistant director, and then they perform it twice that night. So in 10 hours, it goes from nothing to being performed in front of a full house. And the first one I did was based on Don and this idea. And it was a scene I never wanted to shoot, which was when Don meets the person who helps him become a vampire. And it was called Craig's Other List. And Jim Root, actually, who plays Laura's husband, Rob, Kirsten Van Ness's character, in the second episode, actually played Don, and his wife, Shannon Malone's a great actress. They're obviously married. She played the person that he was meeting, who he thought was the vampire, and it turned out she actually wasn't the person. And some of the lines from that play are in the end of the first episode. And that's really when, you know, that's when I really discovered a lot of stuff about the character and understood a lot more of, you know, what the motivation for him to become a vampire was. And, you know, I never wanted it to be, hey, look at me, it's vampires and the mafia, and just have to be some, you know, big caricature. So that's kind of how the idea got started.
It's a good idea. Can you settle something from the Mines fans then? Is it Kirsten or Kirsten? Or however you say her name?
Kirsten?
It's Kirsten.
Kirsten.
Kirsten. All
right. And I don't think it's a pronunciation difference. I think it's an accent difference.
Hey, right. Just because I'm the only Brit on this call does not mean you get to bully me, okay? Right. Do you want to pick a question to ask next, Claire? Or one of your own?
Mine's kind of unrelated. Well, I guess it's kind of related. I was just wondering, like, what's the biggest difference between doing, like, a web series and, like, a short or a TV pilot for, you know, film or TV as opposed to the internet?
Well, I think the big difference is...
Money?
Yeah, money's part of it. You know, with a web series versus television, I mean, television, you need to have a company that is usually a publicly traded company, you know, a Warner Brothers, it's a Time Warner, it's, you know, everything's very large companies take a lot of people to make one decision. And that one decision has to be based on nothing but profit. It has to be profitable. It has to test well. It has to appeal to demographics, which are what advertisers want. It's, you know, it's that game. And then, you know, as we already know, this season, a couple of shows have already been canceled that only went on the air twice. And so they made it all the way through, a big company saying, yes, let's make this. Okay, we made a pilot. We like this. Let's order more episodes, shoot those episodes, and, well, you know what's not doing so well? Canceled. And I think doing it as a film, you know, a film in the traditional sense of the word of you know, shooting a movie, and then you have to get a distributor. And then they have to book it in theaters. And then you need money to promote to get people to go to those theaters. So you're talking about just to open in two theaters in LA and New York for one film for one weekend cost about $300,000. Two theaters. So, and you're not going to make your money back. So that's why film is. So I think the thing with web series, at least for me, is that because it's, you know, it's small, it's short, it's distribution's built in, an audience is possible. You know, there's plenty of web series that, you know, they make a whole season and nobody watches them. Right. And our audience is still pretty tiny. So that's kind of, it's really, yeah, it's all about money. And then it also comes down to, like, creative freedom, because if you make a TV show, everyone has to weigh in on the script, and then, you know, standards and practices, sponsors, everybody has a say when you put something on television.
Yeah, that wouldn't work for shows like Vampire Mobile. Oh, us, we'd never work on TV.
No.
Far too random. So there's a couple of good questions here, which is from Tina, which is, we know you're trying to raise $10,000 for the next season, but what happens if you don't raise it? Do we lose VMOB?
You know, I don't exactly know what happens, to be honest. We'll figure out some way to make it. The thing with a couple of the potential locations, I would just have to scrap some stuff and rewrite some stuff for a budget.
Is she asking what literally happens to the donations?
Oh, I thought she was talking about the show itself. Are you talking about the show or the donations?
Possibly both.
Well, if you donate and we don't reach the goal, your credit card is never charged. When anyone, it's a pledge, so it's kind of like you're saying that I will you know, donate this money if we reach $10,000. So if we don't get to $10,000 by midnight Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Pacific, then no one's credit card is charged, and we don't get any money.
You do know that you get more money if you put it in pounds rather than dollars, right?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, the company's based over here, so we're going to have to deal with the dollars.
What would happen to the show if
it didn't reach it? It would have to be smaller. It would have to be scaled back, and things would have to be, you know, we never had permits. So it's, you know, what happens is if the LAPD catches you shooting without a permit, they fine you and everyone on set, and then they take your equipment. And not always, but they can, and they have. And until that fine is paid, you have no cameras.
Yeah, so we definitely need to raise this money for you, don't we?
Well, the thing is that, you know, the two cameras we use were 10 years old, and they're like, you know, at the time they came, they don't shoot in HD, and at the time they came out, they were great 10 years ago.
Right, but technology changes so fast.
Exactly. And the thing is that those cameras really weren't designed to shoot, you know, we shot 33 pages. A lot of that was with two cameras. And so one of the cameras really started dying in the middle of the shoot. Well, maybe three quarters of the way through the shoot. So I started losing sound on the second camera. And because the heads on that camera were screwing up, it wouldn't digitize. It wouldn't go into a computer. So I spent a couple of weeks trying to figure out the best way to get the video in. And so some of the coverage and some of the shots are of lower quality because they had to be captured differently. So I already bought a Canon 5D. It's on my credit card right now. Ha ha!
Oh, the joys of credit card.
Exactly. Because I need, you know, I need to learn that camera. I need to be able to know what I'm doing when we shoot. And I'm shooting a music video starting next week from Monday with it. And so that, you know, that's something I had to get in-house. And another camera is going to be lent to me, so I don't have to buy two cameras, but I'm still battling with lenses and trying to get it, you know, I'm using 30-year-old lenses to kind of see if that'll work. And if it doesn't, then I need more money to buy a lens, and those are at least a grand or more.
Right, that stuff is not cheap.
No.
It's not just a matter of, like, a lot of people would hear, you know, we need two cameras or we need a lens and think, oh, well, why do you need $10,000? But that stuff is expensive equipment.
Yeah, I mean, just to get the body and an adapter to get lenses that I had from when I worked as a photographer, two cards and extra battery was $3,000. So I'm not even done, and I've already spent $3,000.
That's right. Pricey. That is a lot of money. If I had just, you know, £8,000 lying around, I would send it to you, but unfortunately, I work for government. I've got no money.
Shin, you remember the Criminal Minds bake sale we were going to do to raise money for the show? We should do it. We should still do it, but give the money to Vampire Mob.
We should do the Criminal Minds bake sale and give the money to Joe.
Yeah.
I'm sure that would sell well. I'm actually going to London in a couple of weeks. I should walk around with a begging tin and see how much I can get. Are you surprised at the turnout of fans for VMob, Joe?
Oh, yeah. This is... exceeded a lot of our expectations in a lot of ways, and one is the real sort of I don't know, I'm just so blown away by the involvement of so many of the fans are just really amazing. So that's been a wonderful blessing. I've been doing a lot of theater over the years here in a little place in Santa Monica where Joe was doing the cafe plays that he talked about.
And Shyla's right next to us right now.
Yeah.
She just came out.
We're sitting at the desk. Shiloh, what you doing? But yeah, it's just, you know, and so to get out in front of a live audience is always a nice thing to sort of get that immediate gratification of, hey, this is being appreciated or not. And I've just not had that opportunity through any of the stuff I've done on film. This has just been really, it's been great. I mean, we're very appreciative and pretty excited to get, you know, to keep going and to know that we're not alone.
Yeah.
People actually think this is good, right, man? Because we think it's good, don't we?
Right. I mean, you wouldn't put it out there if you didn't think it was good. So I'm sure a lot.
I think the one thing with web series, with some of the web series right now, is that people are, I don't know, it's there's some gold rush mentality that I don't really know what it's based on. You know, a lot of people are like, you know, they think that they're making a TV pilot because there's been a few web series that have been bought by, you know, the Cartoon Network, by Comedy Central, by Sci-Fi. And, you know, once that happens a few times, then that becomes what people think happens. And it doesn't.
This is why I brought up the, in a way, the theater that you get to do out in L.A. A lot of it is called Equity Waiver. Excuse me. And you sort of like, you know, you put up your show, but can you get people in to see it? It doesn't matter if you're doing a really wonderful show or, you know what I mean? Like, if you can't get the word out, if you can't get an audience, I mean, you kind of do it for yourself, I guess, right? Well, with this, instead of doing this with some sort of ulterior motive, like maybe this will help me step to the next level as an actor. I mean, obviously, we'd love for anything to happen.
Sure.
For Joe to be, you know, Vampire Mob to be picked up, and I don't know, Joe becomes head writer, creator of new HBO series, you know,
or he get fired,
or he gets fired.
Yes.
You know, not that, but I'd to really, to, but to really it. Do it for, we just were doing, we're going to do this, we're doing this, we're going to do this to the best that we can, have fun doing it, yeah. And you know, and then we're going to hopefully find an audience for it, but not for this is my step to stardom, this is his step. You know, of course, we're, you know, we're not idiots. Of course, we're doing things we love to do, and it's what we'd love to then get paid for, to be able to have more opportunity to do bigger, you know, things with what we'd like to do with Vampire Mob, blah blah blah. But you know, I think what we come from the same place, and almost everybody involved, well, really everybody involved, all has that same sort of attitude, which is you're here to do this, and we're on this train, and we're doing that, and that's, and I think that's what, you know, it's about the piece itself.
Yeah,
it's not self-serving, but then in a way, it's actually the best thing for you because you're serving the piece.
Yeah, but I think when I started hearing from fans, there was one week that three different members of the V-Mob, like two had kids that were going into surgery and one was in an emergency room, and it was all within like 4 or 5 days. They were tweeting at me about how, you know, watching the show was kind of a distraction from it all, and laughing was a really good thing. And that's when, you know, that's when you realize, like, you know, we made this for next to nothing. And if I didn't already have the cameras, you know, then it would have cost a lot more. But, you know, it really was made because we could do it. It would be fun. And then to have people, you know, who are going through a tough time watch the show and just be distracted for a second or laugh for a second in the midst of all the mayhem that they're dealing with in their personal lives, that's pretty amazing. I mean, that's more than you know, that's more than money. You know, you can't buy that. You can't get that. You can't market,
yes.
You know, that.
That's like the ultimate goal of entertainment itself, you know?
Well, I can sort of add to that, because I actually sent the link to my brother last Saturday, a week ago today, and but he lost his little boy a week on Friday, and he laughed his socks off all the way through watching it, and he just said that it just took his mind off everything for half an hour, and he felt great for it, and he was then more ready to deal with things. So it, making people laugh helps.
Oh, that's great. That's great to hear. And I'm really sorry about that. When all that happened on Twitter, it was like that. That's the other thing that, you know, kind of happened with Vampire Mob, that you can't, you know, You can't say, hey, I'm going to make a show and put it on the internet, and then people from all over the world are going to like it and start kind of supporting each other when bad stuff happening. No, it's,
right.
It's amazing.
I've noticed, I didn't used to be a big internet person before I started stumbling across fandoms and fan communities, and I didn't really know they even existed before, but it really does, you don't really expect it, but it really does become like a community, and it's like, oh, we all watch Vampire Mob, so now we're all friends and we all support each other, you know, and most of us, the vast majority of us have never met each other in person, you know, but this whole community, it's like we all like this one thing, so we're all cool with each other, and it's like it really does kind of become like a little community.
You sort of wish that the real world was like, you know, a group of fans of things.
Exactly.
Anyway, let's find another question. This one's for John from DevsFan55, and she'd like to know how you found Shyla, because she's incredible.
Yeah, she is. We found her up in Northern California, Oroville. It's northeast of Sacramento, and it's about a 7.5-hour drive for us. Just somebody, friend of a friend who had had puppies, and we saw pictures online through an email, and said, yeah, we definitely wanted to take one. And came on up, and I'll you know what I'll do is I'll put Shyla's puppy picture up that I saw that made me drive 7 hours, because it's nothing like her now, and I'll put it up on Twitter, so we just sort of lucked out, and that was it. She was she's been with us now a year and. I guess it's 8 months. Yeah, no, year and 10 months. She's almost 2 years now, so a year and 10 months.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah, absolutely. She's something else. She's a lot. She's a lot, though. Don't kid yourself.
Yeah. Well, they become part of the family, right?
She actually, I don't know if you saw any of the pictures from the benefit screening, but she was there.
Yeah.
And she was there not because we were we're going to bring her because she's in the cast, but she actually wasn't well again. And, you know, she's doing great now, but we just didn't want to leave her. And it worked out that she'd done the project, so it was all right to bring another actor. So Shyla got to
bring them along when they're part of it.
That's great.
Yeah. Oh, and here's a little surprise. Another cast member's here now. Hey, it's Raimi Hall. Hey, Raimi Hall. Hello.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi, baby.
How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Great. It's wonderful to have you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having us today.
It's all our pleasure. Thank you
Absolutely.
Very much for joining us. So we'll address this to everyone. How is the chemistry on set? Do you have a really good time? Just a joke?
Yeah, we do. We have a very good time, and Joe's really cool because he lets us give suggestions, or he lets me tell him things and acts like he's listening.
He saw me use stuff she told me, so.
No, it's really good. It's very collaborative, and we just have a really good time, and the time actually flies because we usually only shoot for 4 hours at a time, but it goes really quickly, and it's really professional and really fun.
Well, it's always good when you have fun at what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. It helps.
So do we have any... Can any of you tell us any special guest stars that you're going to have on the second season?
Oh, that goes back to Joe the director. Here he is.
Well, that's if they're not super secret guest stars.
That's right.
Yeah,
there's still one actress who will be playing Don's mom that we haven't announced yet, but only out of decorum, really. I just she said yes, she's in, but He's got to dot the I's and cross the T's and all that stuff. But we cast Peter Sprite, who some people recognize from Men in Black 2. He did that a scene with Lara Flynn Boyle when she's checking in at like customs at an airport. And then Retta Sirleaf, who, if you watch Parks and Recreation on NBC, she plays Donna on that show. She's also a stand-up comedian. She beat me in a Comedy Central stand-up contest about 10 years ago, and she got a car, and I got a notebook. And and then Chad Wood, who is going, who's on stage right now at the Ruskin Theater doing Arthur Miller's All My Sons, and then he'll be on stage with John doing Cyrano starting in December. And we just cast, and I really haven't said this before, so you guys have an exclusive. You can look him up on YouTube and Facebook. Actually, everybody. Joe Tabb, T-A-B-B, was just cast yesterday. And he is an actor that John and Raimi know from like 9 years ago or something from a play. But Peter Sprite... he's a friend of Peter Sprite's, and so he'll be in the second season. And there's still, like four other parts that haven't been cast yet. But it'll be, if everything goes as planned, it'll be 19 actors.
Wow. That's like a bigger cast than some like broadcast cable shows. That's going to be really interesting to see. Like how it all works out.
There's one scene where it's four guys all together, so that's, you know, it's not like, you know, it's less like the first season where you're going, you know, you meet Miss Martini, you meet Marty Five. It's like Peter and Retta will be playing a married couple. You'll meet in the first episode, and you'll meet Chad in the first episode. And I told Chad, you can follow him on Twitter. He's Chad T. Wood. I told him he can't tell anybody what he's playing because he's a walking spoiler.
Now, we need to know, is Marty Five back this year? For season two, is Marty Five going to be back?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Chris Mulkey has said more than once, even when I put out the email that we were having the benefit screening, he was like, yeah, he keeps asking me, when do I get to sell blood again?
which is an interesting way to look at it. That was one fantastic castle, to be honest. That was a really good castle.
That's a friend of mine's house.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm absolutely serious. And
that is awesome.
That scene was actually already written, and then I was offered a castle. So I rewrote it to the, not that much of a change, but definitely changed right. Some stuff. But yeah, and I just, it's uploading now. It'll probably be done. I finished cutting, these guys haven't seen it yet, the entire season blooper reel from beginning to end, like everything, almost everything. Some stuff I kept out. But my wife's out of town at the moment, so it was just me and my cat and assistant editor Mike on the computer last night, and I was just laughing my ass off. It is so funny.
We're looking forward to that.
Yeah, that is I think it's probably half as long as this season.
So is Kirsten going to be in season two as well? Because obviously this is Criminal Minds. We've got to keep asking about Kirsten because she's really the reason that we...
Yeah.
So...
What?
I said yes. This John Colossus. Yes. I mean, she's definitely busier now that she's working both shows, which is great.
Right.
We're really definitely. Happy for her and absolutely. Stuff. But I don't think we're going to start... filming. I got Cyrano going on now myself and all that stuff, and Joe's working his tail off actually making all of these ideas come to fruition. Isn't that right, Mr. Wilson? So everybody needs a little time, so we're going to start shooting again like January.
Yeah. Right. Well, and plus you don't want to like get into too much during the holidays, right?
Yeah. Right. But we will, but you know, we were not in a rush when we shot the first time, and a day here, a day there. I mean, how many weeks did we shoot over, really? Four, maybe? Five?
I think we had 13 individual days of shooting, but probably spread over. Yeah, we took a 2-week break in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe it was 5 or 6 weeks total, but it was only 13 actual shooting days. And the longest day, we had one day that was 6 hours, and everything else was 4 hours or less. Maybe the first night was probably a little longer because we did some driving. But all that stuff in the car is just John and I driving around. There's nobody else in the car. There's nobody else involved. It's just...
apart from the pigeon poo on the window.
I'm sorry?
The pigeon poo on the window. From the
yes. You were the first person.
The random guy walking down the alley.
Oh, yeah, yes.
No reaction.
The guy from the blooper, yeah. Yeah, that was classic Hollywood.
It gave me a laugh, I will admit. We'll start wrapping this up anyway. And for this, you get the full amount of my crazy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you two examples, and you have to pick which one you find your favorite. Okay?
We'll give it a shot.
This is possibly the most random mental interview you'll ever do. Socks or shoes?
What?
Do you see what I mean? Socks or shoes? Which do you
socks
prefer?
Socks or shoes? Is that what you said?
If you only wear one.
No, we understand that. I honestly was trying to understand the words. Socks or shoes? Socks.
I forget socks to translate for her sometimes because I'm so used to her accent now.
I'm in socks right now instead of shoes, so I'd have to say socks.
Dogs or cats?
Dogs or cats? Well, gee. Dog. Cat.
I would be cat. Not that I love dogs, I need to not have to. Well, I walk my landlady's dog actually every day, so it's almost like having a dog, at least the part where you have to walk them. But I volunteered when she was in the hospital, and then when she got out, I just kept doing it. And because I'm at home, it's the only time, like, I'll stay in my house for days and never leave, so the dog makes me leave the house every day. But I've had cats. I grew up with cats and have one now, and had the cat before Mike was Dave, and he was 18.
That's an old cat.
Yeah, he was an old cat.
And the last one for this is blueberry muffins or brownies. And that comes courtesy of Jen.
So blueberry muffins or brownies?
Oh, brownies.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, I'd say blueberry muffin.
I'd probably go brownie. Yeah, I'd have to go brownie.
I don't even know where these questions came from, but...
Claire, it's called my brain. This is how I live my life, is do I prefer this or this? So we'll just thank you all again for agreeing to be part of this crazy thing crazy that we call an interview.
Very brownie.
I'm going to eat some brownies wearing socks.
The new thing when you watch Vampire Mob, you have to wear socks and eat brownies.
Yeah.
Unless you're John's fan, and then you can eat blueberry muffins, because I'll be eating blueberry muffins.
That's correct. That is breakfast. But, like, you would know, because y'all eat weird stuff for breakfast.
I eat porridge for breakfast.
Porridge.
Whatever porridge is. I love you, Shin. You know that. But anyway, thank y'all so much for doing this interview with us. It was...
It's been so much fun.
You've been very fun. And informational.
Well, cool. Well, thanks for having us on. It's the first time Ramey Hall's been available for an interview, so you guys have the big scoop.
And just because she walked by.
Thank you, Ramey.
Thank you. Thank you
all very much. So once again, thank you very much to Joe, John, and Raimi for joining us for this very odd interview. I'm sure you'll agree. And Claire and I will see you next time, where I promise we will actually do the recaps. Bye!